Hello, friends. It's time for the News Talk 94.9 WSJM Morning Announcements with yours truly, Jim Gifford, and my partner in crime, Spencer Rivers. Brought to you by the good people at Special Light Indicator in Benton Harbor. And there is a good chance that you have walked through a special light door when you go into a local restaurant or visit a school or a store or walk into a manufacturing plant. So thank you to Special Light Indicator in Benton Harbor and enjoy your morning announcements.
Winds are southwest at 13. The temperature's at 71 at News Talk Sports 94.9 WSJ.
Raindrops are falling on my head, and just like the guy whose feet are too big for his bed, nothing seems to fit. Those raindrops are falling on my head, they keep falling. So I just did need some talking to the sun.
Spencer, how are you this morning over by there? Did I scare you?
Yeah.
That was a little over-aggressive, wasn't it?
I was listening to raindrops are falling on my head, and all of a sudden I hear my name. It's like, whoa! Especially when you have headphones on, you know?
Yeah, that is, can be a little scary.
It's all right. I need a little waking up this morning.
Try to ease into it next time.
No, I was just looking at the radar here. It looks like that's mostly going to be North Berrien and maybe into South Haven, Covert area.
Yeah, last I checked, the very southern end of it appeared to be just north of Benton Harbor, so... it's not going to be much of anything to speak of. Not like yesterday, which was a very welcome soaking rain.
Yes.
We got with a little bit of thunder but no wind, just a nice straight soaking downpour for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a good thing yesterday. I am asking for and happily receiving any prayers that might come my way this morning. I left my phone at home.
Oh, no. Wow.
You know how you have, I feel naked. I feel discombobulated. I feel confused, bordering on angry. No. You got your regular morning routine.
Oh, sure.
You get up and you pull all your stuff together and you get this and that goes there and this goes here and put the breakfast together and get the coffee and put this in that pocket and this goes in the other pocket. And I usually put my phone in my one pocket, but for some reason I put a little vial of pain pills in that pocket this morning.
Oh.
So apparently I felt at some point that pocket was full, so the phone must be there, and I just completely forgot it.
Well, how's that BlackBerry working still? Is that
No, this was the bag phone.
Oh, the bag phone. Oh, okay. All right.
So, anyway, I'm a little out of sorts in that regard.
Nobody calls you at this time of the morning anyway, do they?
But still, I do use that for... the Facebook Live thing that I do in the morning, so I didn't do that. So,
oh, no. I wondered what the phone was ringing off the hook in
all,
here.
All three of the people that look at that in the morning are wondering what happened. So I'll do a makeup version of that tomorrow. You're talking about the data breaches over at the Lakeland Spectrum Lakeland Health vendor that they're concerned with.
Yeah, the foundation.
At this point, whenever I hear a story like that, even if I have no connection to it whatsoever, I feel the urge to change passwords and logins.
Oh, yeah. It's always a good idea every now and then.
And that's always, they tell you not to use the same login and password for various, different sites and apps and that kind of stuff. But, then you've got to collect, hundreds of different logins and passwords. But then you're told that you can't keep those on file anywhere because that's not safe either. And your head just starts to spin. Well, I can't do all this. This makes no sense. I have to have it written down somewhere.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Anyway, I just feel that whenever a story like that pops up, even if I have no connection to it, which I don't here, it's still all of a sudden go, oh man, should I change my logins and passwords? But then that, you know, that can be a whole evening project.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Because then you got to get that word out, and if you've got any automatic transactions that you take care of, in your banking and that sort of stuff, then you got to change all that. Yikes. So anyway, that's where we stand at this morning. What else did we do? Hey, last night I tried like the devil to get hooked up with this WGN America News Nation thing. Because I don't have cable.
You don't?
No.
Oh.
I have various streaming services, and just recently we started checking out YouTube TV to get some local TV.
Oh, well, how about that?
But I couldn't make it work. I couldn't find it. I couldn't get it last night because I don't have cable. But there's, you know, there's supposed to be an app that you can download, and I'm checking here and I'm checking there and I'm all over the place, and it's saying, well, yeah, you should have access to it through YouTube TV. I said, well, we have YouTube TV, and I went there and I'm looking and searching and this and that, and I can't find it. Well, let's try the app for the phone, and well, no, that then okay, download this. Well, wait a minute, that's Hulu. I've got Hulu. Jeez Louise. And I never could get the stupid thing figured out.
Well, that's odd.
I missed that last night, and I wanted to see the debut of this new thing from Nexstar Media Group. It's not WGN TV. It's not Channel 9. It's WGN America, which is different. It's a different network.
Right.
And it's their new primetime news program, not news and commentary, or not all commentary. No, panel of 27 people analyzing every inch of every news story. None of that. Just honest to goodness news anchored from the midsection of the nation, from Chicago. It's supposed to be on every night from 8 to 11 o'clock, and they've got from Nexstar's network of journalists across the country, some 5,400 people draw on, 110 local newsrooms. And that's basically what they're doing. I mean, Nexstar is a conglomeration of local news from across the country, and they're just going to draw on those to pull this thing together every night. So they debuted it last night, and I've not seen at this point how they did ratings-wise or any of that kind of stuff. But I really wanted to see, for instance, how they may have covered the president's visit to Kenosha, because he was there yesterday. And if you believe the one side of the media spectrum, he was greeted only by protesters. And if you believe the other side of the media political spectrum, he was greeted only by supporters.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, and obviously what the truth is right down the middle, as the Associated Press is reporting this morning that his motorcade passed throngs of demonstrators, some holding American flags in support of the president, others jeering and carrying signs that read Black Lives Matter. So that's really what I wanted to see. I'll figure this out at some point on how I can get a hold of this, but for those of you who did get to see it, I assume you did not.
I was watching the Tigers.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I understand that. I was talking to somebody the other day about how I being immersed in all of this stuff every day can just blow your mind, and it's getting to that point for me.
Gets depressing.
It does. It really just wears heavily on your brain and on your soul. But, you know, you feel the need to, you know, sound like you know what's going on. So I'm giving that an attempt. Anyway, Mr. Trump was in Kenosha yesterday. And while there, took credit for bringing calm to the city, marred by the protests over the shooting of Jacob Blake in the back multiple times, caught on video. He suggested that he shut down the violence by calling in the National Guard. However, if if you do the search and the fact-checking and so on and so forth, it's actually the governor of Wisconsin who called in Wisconsin's National Guard and then asked for help from Arizona, Michigan, and Alabama, who also brought in some National Guard troops. That's the governor's doing and so on and so forth. But he visited the buildings that were damaged when the protests turned violent, saying that these are not acts of peaceful protest.
By and large, this is not peaceful protest. When you walk into an area and you see buildings that have burned down, and then they say it was a peaceful protest, it's not a peaceful protest, and you shouldn't call it a peaceful protest.
And as Washington does so often, they found some money to fix this.
Oh.
So he says Justice Department will provide $1 million to law enforcement in Kenosha, $4 million to help small businesses rebuild, $42 million to support public safety efforts across the entire state. So he did not meet with the family of the young man who was shot. He says it's better if that is handled locally. So if, you know, if any of what he's done there actually helps the state, I guess that's a good thing. The critics claim that it's nothing more than a campaign stunt. But at this stage of the world of politics, that's all anything that these guys do between now and November is likely a campaign-oriented event of some sort or another. He took a hard line. Came down squarely on the side of law enforcement there, blaming domestic terror for the violence. So I guess that's all. That's over and done with for now. There was some talk that Mr. Biden might visit Wisconsin as well, but there has been nothing definitive on that, and we don't have a time, place, date, or reason for that at this point. We'll keep you posted if it changes. We should hear from our governor today, and that will be interesting, if not potentially good news. She is supposed to address the reopening of the gyms and the theaters and the bowling alleys.
That would be great if she does that.
Yeah, the last, basically the last three that haven't been able to open. And again, that's only in like the southern, what, two-thirds, not even that. Of the state of Michigan, because they are allowed to be open up north.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. There is the contention out of the Detroit Free Press and other sources is that she will address that specific issue today and talk about reopening them after Labor Day. So,
oh, okay.
That is good because that's Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Already. You believe it? We got a holiday weekend coming up.
That's very nice.
How about that? So hooray for us. And you get a long one. You're gone Friday, right?
Yep.
All right. Good for you. I don't know if we got anybody filling in for you or not. I may just be sitting here talking to myself for 3 hours.
Oh, they got somebody. I forgot who it was now.
Slippery Bob.
No, he's gone. It's somebody from one of the local homes, though.
Okay, well, good. Somebody from the studio audience.
Yeah.
That would be good. You have these guys come in.
Good morning.
Anyway, we'll hear from the governor today. Speaking of Labor Day and the weekends, there's going to be some changes coming in the reporting of COVID numbers going forward. Sunday and Monday data will both be reported on Mondays. That'll include this Labor Day. This, apparently, what they have found, and we hear this every Monday anyway when we report the numbers, that the weekend data is often very erratic and generally lower than during the week because of reduced testing and lab staffing and that kind of mm-hmm. stuff. So they're going to just, in an effort to make that more consistent, just report the two of them, Sunday and Monday, together. Then we'll have that. And by the, I think that also gives the lab people and whoever's in charge of disseminating that information, it'll actually give them a little bit of the break because I think they've been working 7 days a week since this started. So, speaking of COVID, apparently 8 kindergarten through grade 12 schools here in Michigan have reported new or ongoing outbreaks over the past week. 6 outbreaks linked to college campuses. This from the Department of Health and Human Services. Now, the interesting thing was, I did not know this. An outbreak is generally defined as an instance in which two or more cases are linked by place and time.
Hmm.
So it doesn't take much to have an outbreak, two or more cases. So anything that would like that, that would indicate a shared exposure outside of someone's house, considered an outbreak. So use that in your calculation of how serious these issues are. It's 6:25. That's page one of your morning announcements on News Talk Sports 94.9 WSJM. Thanks, Kerry. 71 at the studios. The wind southwest at 12 at News Talk Sports 94.9 WSJM. 6:41. Jim Gifford, Spencer Rivers, and News Guys. We thank you for the company on the second day of September 2020.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun, I say, it's all right. Little darling, it's been a long, cold, lonely winter.
I don't know about winter, we're not there yet. Let's not get ahead of ourselves here, but my goodness. But we do have some sunshine on the way here today, and that's particularly good news as we begin page two of our morning announcement. Thank you. Because there is, and I'm not sure exactly who's doing this, but there is an outfit down right by downtown Baroda, just north of town there, that's building a little mini solar farm.
Oh.
Right alongside the road and right alongside their building. I assume it's the, it's just like a machine shop of some sort or some kind of a manufacturing organization down there, and it's right next door to them. I assume it's theirs, but it's right there on Stevensville Baroda Road, just north of town. It looks pretty cool. I mean, it's just, you know, you've seen these gigantic ones out in the, you know, the hinterlands that the power companies and such are building. It's just like a little mini version of that. And it just, they were out there yesterday putting up some of the panels and that kind of stuff. It sure looks cool. Now, I was reading the other day, this I was not aware of, that some new research out suggests that power companies are dragging their feet
when it, okay.
when it comes to embracing green energy sources like wind and solar. The research that these guys have done suggests that only 1 in 10 energy suppliers, now this is globally speaking, has actually prioritized renewables over fossil fuels. Even though we are decommissioning some of the coal-fired plants, and as we know here in this area, some of the nuclear plants, because we lose the Covert plant, what, next year, 2 years from now?
Palisades, yeah.
Palisades is gone in a year or two. Even though some of those are being decommissioned, what they're converting to in many, if not most cases, natural gas in these parts, because through our fracking efforts and whatnot, that's made that resource more accessible and affordable around the country. They're still building, not the country, around the world, they're still building heavy coal power plants. So,
yeah, we got right across from the Palisades nuclear plant is the Covert generating plant, which uses natural gas.
That is correct. I do know that I&M is building some solar farms and wind farms here and there. I don't know what percentage of their generating capacity is being addressed in that fashion, but I do know they are doing some of that. But the researcher says the slow uptake undermines the global efforts to tackle climate change. Green energy has boomed around the world in recent years. Many of the new wind and solar power installations, though, have been built by independent producers. Their claim is, through their research, that large-scale utility companies, including many state and city-owned enterprises, again, this is globally, have been much slower to go green from this new study. So I think we're still moving that way because you've got some of the main high-tech entrepreneurs who are kind of driving that, the Elon Musks and those kind of guys that are just kind of forcing this whole move towards emissionless transportation and that sort of thing. That's going to just continue to drive the need for more and more power. And if, you know,
well,
if they have their way, it'll be what they call, I guess, green power.
Do you know anyone that is driving a Tesla?
I do not.
Okay. I was trying to kind of find out how long is it takes to recharge.
Yeah, that I don't know.
I'll have to look that up.
You'll probably look that up. I'd be more curious to know how long those batteries last. And I don't mean the charge. I mean the batteries themselves.
Oh, yeah, because they could be very expensive.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be like, you know, after having to swap out the engine in your car every few years or however long they
last.
You've
got to plan your route to see where these charging stations are.
Yeah, it certainly has its limits. And I think you'll see, at least initially, and the interest in them is growing.
Oh, yeah.
But it's growing wherever the infrastructure, basically the charging stations, are. And there's enough, I guess, along I-94 that you can travel pretty confidently down.
Where's there one down by Moe's, right?
Right by Panera there.
Yeah.
Panera and Moe's, yeah.
And those, a lot of those Amazon delivery vans you're seeing are electric.
Yeah, they're worldwide. They're going all in on electric delivery vans. I'm curious just to know how those sorts of things will work in truly inclement weather.
Especially.
You know, up here and farther north and that kind of thing, whether those things can still, work in that sort of a situation.
I assume you have to have electric heat in the car then.
I would assume in a real long extension cord. I tried to help a woman jump her car yesterday over at the Lakeshore Shell.
Really?
Yeah, oh, so I was getting some gas, and she walked up and says, "Hey, can I pay you to give me a jump?" And I said, "Hello." No. I said, "Well, you pay me. I don't have any cables, though." She said, "Wait a minute, let me see if I do." But she just come in to get gas, and the couldn't start her Jeep.
Oh, dear.
And so when I got done doing what I was doing, pulled around and we hooked it up, and it didn't work.
Really?
Yeah, it wasn't her battery. She's got other issues.
Oh, dear.
So she had to call for a rescue.
Well, but, for Pete's sake. Well, good of you to try and do that anyway.
I gave it my best shot.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, she tried to pay me, and I said, no thanks. Have a nice day. Hmm. So, there was that. Oh, while we're out kind of in that general area, which is exit 23, there, that's in the, what appears to be, from this recent study that came out, the truck crash hot zone.
It is.
My goodness. Yep. The numbers you were reading in WSJM News just minutes ago, kind of disturbing. I think we kind of knew this, maybe not officially, but just kind of innately understood that the I-94 through Berrien County is not a good place to be if you want to avoid crashes, and particularly truck crashes. I forget what your numbers were. Like 10% of all crashes in Michigan are on Interstate 94, and of those, 15% are in Berrien County, yep. I think is the way it shakes out.
Yep.
So
a lot of them down there by exit 23 and down there around that Putz Curve.
Yeah.
Especially in the wintertime around Putz Curve.
And that's not a particularly horrific curve or anything like that.
I
don't know what the deal is. You can certainly understand that in the wintertime because that's an area that is fraught with the whiteouts and lake effect snow squalls and that sort of thing. But for the rest of the year, I don't know what it is, if it's just the amount of traffic or if it's, people coming from other places that are in a big hurry to get a vacation over here in Michigan. I don't know what it is. But that area is just fraught with accidents.
You know, another bad spot in the wintertime is the I-94 between Hartford and Lawrence.
You're right. You're right. I think there's a similar situation there.
Whiteouts
and snow squalls off the lake and that kind of thing. So, the numbers bearing out what we all kind of knew anyway, that 94, and a lot of locals will tell you that I don't ever get on there, and especially in the winter. I take Red Arrow Highway. I am not getting on 94 when it's snowing. So, hey, look at that. September 2nd. We're already talking about snow.
Oh, dear. Better change the subject now.
All right, let's turn our attentions to money. How about that instead? Yeah, huh? and big money, the big money that comes from and is related to Big Ten football. Did you see the numbers on this?
Yeah.
Holy cash cow, Batman! My God, the University of Michigan athletic department going to take a $100 million hit after the Big Ten's decision to postpone fall sports.
Wow.
Football, of course, is their big breadwinner there. And $100 million. And that's just one university.
Wow.
So they've already, and I saw somewhere, they have already made the decision to make some staffing cuts and that sort of thing. Financial cuts, dozens of layoffs. In the athletic department there. Shortfall of $100 million. I bet the big guys aren't taking a pay cut. I bet you Jim Harbaugh isn't losing any money.
Yeah, it could be.
As is normally the case, it's the little guys that turn out to be the fall guys. So, hey, here's your technology has taken over story for the day. I mentioned Elon Musk a little bit ago, everybody's favorite high-tech messiah and borderline nutcase. He says and does some weird things, but as do most eccentrics. You know, most of these guys down through history that are out on the forefront of technology and science, they're all a little kooky.
That's true.
And that's okay.
That's true.
Well, he's working on something called Neuralink, a rather ambitious plan to link your brain, Spencer, to a computer.
Oh, dear. It would crash.
What, your brain or the computer?
Both.
A mutual crash site? It's like I-94. no, they're working on this. They're working on linking human brains to computers. This has just horrific sci-fi implications written all over it. Now, they're saying that the reason that they're working on this so diligently is that it might, down the road, allow people, for instance, with conditions like Parkinson's, to control their physical movements or manipulate machines via the power of thought.
Yeah.
And if you look at it from that perspective, then all right. This could be good, but like I said, if science fiction has taught us nothing, it's at least taught us that things can go horribly, horribly wrong when you're messing with brains and computers. Mr. Musk himself, with far greater ambitions, talking of the development of superhuman cognition. That just sounds frightening in and of itself. He thinks it'll enhance your brain in part to combat the threat that he sees from artificial intelligence. Now, that makes...
That didn't make a lot of sense.
I know.
To me,
yeah. So now we're going to have to hook our brains up to computers to combat artificial intelligence. What? Jeez. Yeah. I'm a skeered. I'm a skeered. my God. They did a demo, apparently, with a pig named Gertrude.
Oh, dear.
They put what Mr. Musk described as a Fitbit for your skull inside of Gertrude the pig and recorded the animal's neural activity. And then sent that wirelessly to a computer screen, and with a series of beeps happening every time her snout was touched.
That's one reason I should get one, I guess.
That'd be a fun party game, huh?
Yeah.
Touch the pig spout, make the snout, or make the computer beep. Well, I guess all that touching and beeping indicates activity in the part of her brain that seeks out food, so... For whatever reason, Mr. Musk thinks that this is incredibly profound. Just, and I know we are idiots, in that scientific perspective. But I think from our perspective and our viewpoint, it just sounds goofy.
It does. Wow.
Hey, let's make the pigs beep. Let's make the pig beep. How do you do that? Touch your snout.
I hope the government is not funding any of that, because that would be pork barrel spending, wouldn't it?
Absolutely would be. I'm guessing that Mr. Musk has enough of his own money. He's probably got more money than most governments.
Oh, probably so, yeah.
You know, he's bringing home his own bacon in this regard. Sports coming up next on WSJM.